All right, kiddos, come on and join me here. I saw on the internet one of y'all posted Brother Dusty's giving out money next Sunday. Is that who put that on the internet? Was it one of y'all? No. I want to thank y'all for that great birthday celebration that I had last Sunday, and it really was a surprise to me. I thought Mr. John was going to sting me with a few pictures, but when I saw some of my family come, but the dinner and all the roast and we had Elvis here too. That was wonderful. Elvis did such a good job that the government shipped him out this week. He's lowering the IQ in two states now. Did we get that on tape, John? Okay, good. Just want to make sure Elvis hears that. All right, I'm going to read a story to you, okay? You ready? Now, the boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was a time when revelation from God was rarely heard or seen by anyone. One night, Eli was sound asleep. You got to know Eli was a judge over Israel. His eyesight was very bad. He could hardly see. It was well before dawn. The lamp in the sanctuary was still burning. And Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God, what do we call that thing? Remember that chest? It's called the Ark of the Covenant, where it rested. And then the Lord, Yahweh Himself, called out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Yes, I'm here." And he ran into Eli saying, "I heard you call. Here I am." Eli said, "Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called Samuel again. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." So Samuel gets up and he goes back to Eli. And he says, I heard you call. Here I am. Now again, Eli said, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. See, he hadn't met the Lord yet. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. Then God called Samuel the third time. Yet again, Samuel went into Eli and said, "Yes, I heard you. Here I am." And that's when it dawned on Eli who was calling the boy. It was the Lord. So Eli directed Samuel, "Go back, lie down. And if you hear that voice again, say these words, 'Speak, Lord, I'm your servant and I'm ready to listen.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and sure enough, the Lord came again. And he stood before him exactly as he had before, and he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, and he said, "Speak, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm ready to hear." Now, the reason why I tell y'all that story today is because a lot of times younger people your age, think that God doesn't speak to you. Say, "Well, God speaks to the preacher. God speaks to older people, he speaks to my parents, but he doesn't speak to me." Well, there you have an example of somebody. And by the way, Samuel went on to become a great judge of Israel. He's the one who anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, and then later David. So Samuel became a great man of God. But it all started right there with him listening and hearing God's voice. Now, I want y'all to listen to me closely. The Lord speaks to y'all too. He speaks through His Word, the Bible, to you. He speaks through your teachers, your parents, people who love the Lord. He speaks through them in your life. But He comes to you and He speaks to you in prayer. That's not limited to older people. That's you too. Listen for His voice, okay? Thank you, Lord, for these children. I pray today You will speak to them and they will hear Your voice clear and plain. We love them, Lord. We ask You to raise them up in knowledge and understanding of You. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Time to go to Kids Zone. I believe y'all have a special treat in store today at Kids Zone. They're changing their setup on Kids Zone a little bit today. And they're going to have a lot of fun over there today. Not that they haven't been, but it's going to be extra special today. It's good to see you today. How many times in your life have you thought this? Maybe you didn't say it, but you thought this. Well, God speaks to other people, but He doesn't speak to me. You hear someone give a testimony and say, well, I heard the Lord's voice clearly that this particular thing in my life. And you say, maybe not out loud, but you say, man, I wish I could hear God's voice like that. Today, we begin a series of messages on hearing God's voice. And I want you to listen clearly today. I'm going to be giving you some homework, some things for you to try out as you listen to God's voice. Well, first assignment, though, is right now. Let's turn to the 12th chapter of Genesis. As you're turning there, let me give you some of God's economy. There's a reason why He gave you two ears and one mouth. Huh? There's a big reason for that. Two ears and one mouth. He wants you to listen. To listen. In today's world, I know of no other item for a believer that is more important than hearing God's voice. And discerning, I am that I can listen to the Lord. Especially in these days. We live in a world, in a culture that has many challenges. I hope you keep up with the prayer requests that we send out on Thursdays. The things that are going on around the world right now that we need to be vitally interested in. You know, you can go stick your head in the sand and try to forget about all the things that are going on. Or you can be, and that way you're part of the problem. Or you can become part of the solution. You know, an informed believer in Christ can pray informed prayers to the Lord. As we intercede, as we know to pray. How many times have you said to someone, well, if I'd just known about that, I could have prayed. Why didn't you know about it? Why didn't we share? Why didn't that happen? So, think about the things that are going on right now. Here in our country, we've got a little town outside of St. Louis that's on fire right now. There's so much, you know, an awful thing happened. And then the combination of things that have happened after that. And then you get everybody else involved in that so many people involved in it that have their own agenda as to which way they want to push something. Boy, our brothers and sisters in Ferguson need our prayers right now. Did you hear the testimony of that Missouri State Patrolman? He said, gave the testimony of what his little girl told him about things. So, well, how was it last night, Daddy? He said, well, it was kind of rough. And she said, you just need to keep your eyes on Jesus. She said, just like Peter did when the waves were there. Man, what a testimony. Truly out of the mouths of babes. That there's a country that needs to be listening to a little girl in a time of trouble. Think about the stuff that's going on right now around the world in the Gaza Strip. That, you know, the ISIS group, that Islamic Republic group that's going through Iraq right now. They murdered another 80 people. They've crucified people. They're beheading people. They're burying people alive. Stuff like that. Is this a time when we need to be listening to the Lord so we can pray and pray effectively right now? I'm contending to you right now that it is a time. You know, you got 19,000 Russian troops sitting on the border of the Ukraine right now, ready to pounce. And if you don't think that's going to affect you at the gas pump, if you don't think it's going to affect you any other way, it's going to affect you. I'm saying to you, not to worry. We don't bring these things up so that we can worry and wring our hands. We bring them up so we can pray, so we can act in the name of the Lord, according to His plan. Not with our head in the sand, but with our heads up, you know. Lift up your heads, it says in the psalm, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting. The King of glory is coming. We need to get ready. He's given us a great opportunity to share with this world. It's the greatest time in the history of mankind to share the gospel. There are more people open to it. But we've got to be obedient. We've got to hear God's voice. How many billion people are there on the planet? I've said this to you many times. Billion people. 5, 6, I don't know what it's up to now. But how are you going to know which ones you're supposed to share with unless you can hear God's voice? Unless you're listening. How are you going to know how to apply God's Word in people's lives unless you hear His voice? Truth of the matter is all of us struggle with hearing God's voice, don't we? It's something we have to practice at. Now, do you think Abram, who later became Abraham, do you think he just automatically, overnight, knew how to hear God's voice? Of course not. Hear this story. It's a familiar story. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, going down through verse 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country. Stop there for just a moment. His father, Terah, had taken him from Ur of the Chaldees, there on the Fertile Crescent. He had taken him from Ur, which is down the gulf there, down there. He had taken him up to Haran. God had been speaking. God had been moving. If you read the account there in Genesis 11, you'll see God's been moving there. And when people listen just a little bit, with a little bit of obedience, great things can happen. Now the Lord comes to Abram, Yahweh Himself. He says to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. What land is that? He doesn't know. All he knows is it's the land God's going to show him. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. Let me ask you, this isn't the sermon today, but has God made good on that promise to make of him a great nation? We can agree on that. You know, little old postage stamp piece of property. And look, the whole world revolves on that axis today. He says, I'll bless you. Has God done that? Yes, he has. I'll make your name great. Boy, if only he knew. And so you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Have we seen that in our country? Do those who bless God's chosen people, do they get a blessing? Always have. But here's the other part. But the one who curses you, I will curse. Have we seen that take place? Have we seen nations just fall off the map? And we're going to see more of that. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. How could that be possible? Because who would come? Ultimately, what is the there are many other parts of this blessing, but the principal part of that blessing is who would come through that bloodline? Yeshua, the Son of God. So Abram went forth as the Lord spoken to him, and Lot with him, nephew. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So please don't bellyache and say, I'm too old to do something. Now we're going to get to you women later, but after he speaks to Sarai. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons that they had acquired in Haran, and they all set out for the land of Canaan, and thus they came to the land of Canaan. So, did he have a plan B? No. No plan B. He took everything and everybody. So, Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the Oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land, and the Lord Yahweh himself appeared to Abram, and he said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. Did he make good on that promise? Yes, he has. So he built an altar there unto the Lord who had appeared to him, and he proceeded from there to a mountain on the east of Bethel. What does Bethel mean? House of God. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. I want you to see that. He called upon the name of the Lord. Now, that was not his good idea. Please, do not ascribe to Abram this greatness that he came up with this good idea. Who called to him first? The Lord. The Lord had spoken to him. He's just responding. He is listening. And so Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. You see, to hear God's voice, you got to be listening. Are you listening? Let me ask you this. Do you believe God's speaking to you right now? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in your life, at this period of time in your life. Is God speaking to you? The answer is yes. He's speaking to you. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are you listening? Are you hearing his voice? Now, story shared with the children today. Here, each time Samuel, he hears a voice, but he's ascribing that voice to something or someone else until someone shows him and teaches him, i.e., Rick talked about discipleship at 9:30 this morning. We need instruction. We need those who have gone before to show us how to hear the voice of God. Abram was listening. How long had he been listening? How many times had God spoken before this time that we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1? How many times had he spoken when they were all in a family unit down in Ur of the Chaldees? How many times had God spoken in the buildup? You see, listening to the voice of the Lord is a process. You can't just take it out of context, because the same God who speaks to you at this point, He's going to speak to you over here and over here and over here. He's going to guide your steps. He is going to be with you. Is this a one shot? God spoke, He wound it up like the deists believed, you know. We had people at the beginning of amongst our country's founders who were deists. What they believed about the Lord, little history lesson here, what they believed was that deists believed that God just, that the universe was like a clock, and you wound it up, and then the deity, the God figure, just backed away and let everything happen. He wound it up and backed away. You see, in reality, a lot of Western Christians are practical deists, because we go by event Christianity. We say, God spoke over here. And sometimes what's going on here, I was in the house of God and I heard from the Lord. And then tomorrow, our lives are lived out like nothing happened the day before. Do you hear me? You see, hearing from God is a process. It's a process. We see that process in Samuel's life, and that story I read to the children today. It's also a choice. Abram had to choose to listen. You got to make a choice. You got to make an active choice. And when you make a choice about something, what does that usually mean has changed when I choose? When I say, I'm going to choose to do this. It involves my time. It involves my resources. It involves my brain. It involves me as a whole. I choose to be here rather than here. We all make choices today. You had a choice when you got up this morning, didn't you? You could choose to come and gather together and fulfill Hebrews 10:25 that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's what the Bible says. So when you forsake the assembling of yourself, what do you call that? That's disobedience. He has called us to gather. It's kind of like me saying to Miss Audrey, I've committed to, I'm going to marry you, Miss Audrey, but I'm not going to be around very much. In fact, I'll be off 6 months at a time. I might come by and see you and the children occasionally. You call that a marriage? No. Listening is a choice. Are you choosing to listen? Are you intentional about listening? When you listen, that means you've got to turn down the volume on some other things. Now, they're next door and a guy's got a jackhammer. Bam, 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 bam. And I'm in here trying to read. The possibility of me getting that construction company next door to stop the jackhammer is minuscule. So if I'm going to read and keep my mind on one thing, well, what will have to happen? Give me a practical step here. I got to get some earmuffs on or change my location. You know what? Someone will say, well, I'm not hearing God's voice, but we've got every other voice turned up around us. Be still and know that I am God. Taking time alone. Our listening affects the lives of others too, doesn't it? This whole idea, that this Western American idea that we've got, that we live our life and it's our lives, you know, I did it my way, Frank Sinatra, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you, let's just take Frank's life for just a moment. Did Frank affect other people's lives? I can sing it all day long. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do this. But can I live my life like it doesn't affect anybody else's life? Like the choices I make do not ripple out. Did the choices that Abram made ripple out and affect other people's lives? Those whole gang of people. All the people that joined him, that worked for him, that were there with him, his family. And now, has Abram's choices, are they affecting things today in the Middle East? You see, the thing about our choices is they're eternal. You ever thought about your life like that? You're living your life before an audience of one, as we said last week. Now, God's call on your life always requires faith. What is faith? What's the Hebrews 11 definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, it's poof. Well, it doesn't exist, but it's faith. I'm trusting. I'm throwing all my weight upon someone or something else. In this case, Abram threw his weight upon the Lord. He met the Lord personally. He put his faith in him. You know, we're all trusting in something, aren't we? Are you trusting in your opinion? In your knowledge about something? Hold up, wait a second. That's a dangerous thing, to think we know all there is to know about something and we can deduce an opinion from that. Mm-mm. You see, we don't live in a closed system. We live in a system where we're waiting for God to move and to work, and He can change things on a dime. Can He stop the sun in the sky? He did it. Can He make a jackass speak? He did it. Can He raise the dead? He did it and still does it. Fill in the blank. He's God. He's wanting us to trust Him. Abram trusted Him. God never fails to show us His will if we'll just listen. But you've got to be intentional about it. Abram was intentional. He put his money where his mouth was. He wasn't perfect. No, we read about his foibles later. But he began, he started this journey with the Lord, and God never failed him. He showed him the way to to Canaan. He provided for him once he got there. You see, the thing is, we buy into this notion that we can control our future. Oh, I plan for this and I plan for that, but hey, did you plan for that over there? Not a message against planning, but planning must begin with the one who controls all the plans, who knows what's going to happen. All those economists in the early 2000s, where were they in the fall of 2007 and 2008? When the crash happened, the economic crash happened, when our stock market went to 50% of its value, I think you'd call that a crash. Where were all those economists, all those great people that knew everything? They're headed for the tall grass. They didn't want to be interviewed. You couldn't find one because they didn't want them to play those sound bites from just a few months before. See, God is waiting at the end of our obedience with arms open wide. You see, He's not only He is with us as the one who instigates things, who begins things. He walks with us in the process, and then He is there waiting with arms open wide, as He was for Abram and for Sarai and all that company that was obedient to Him, who heard God's voice and followed Him in obedience. Obedience to His voice brings forth greater blessings than we can ever imagine. Abram could not have seen that far ahead to see all that the Lord was going to do for him. That He was actually going to have a child. A nation would come out of him. The Messiah would come out of his line. That they would actually get their land, this land, this country that would belong to them. And for 2,000 years almost, the Jews scattered all over the place, and then see the miracle that happened in 1947 to see them restored to the land. How could you have imagined all of those blessings to come out of it? You couldn't. But it came from obedience. Obedience. When he got to the land and he heard from the Lord and he saw what God was doing, what was his natural reaction then as he was walking with the Lord? It was worship. He sets aside this place, this house of God, and he worships the Lord. And then it's like you're adding fuel to the fire. Then that worship then invites the presence of the Lord in a more powerful way to come. And it affects all the people around us. And the worship I'm talking about is not that Abram had a service there and they all had a bulletin and they all knew what to do next on the thing. No, we're talking about a life that was worship. A life that was lived out before the Lord. He was putting his life on the line. He didn't know what all was around him. All he knew was who was with him, who was in him. Think of all the boogeymen that were around him at that time. And yet he's gone to this strange place. And yet the Lord is giving that place to him. I'm telling you, let's not look back on the glory days. No, let's look forward to what God is going to do in our lives. Let's look forward to the things that He wants to do in our lives today, to use us in this generation to change the lives of people. And in order to do that, We must hear his voice. Samuel? Samuel. Is he speaking to you? Now hear me on this. I'm not inviting you today. Hear me clearly. I'm not inviting you today to put your agenda out there and say, God told me this. Let me tell you what's going to happen to that. It will fail. It will dry up. What happened to Abram every time he got on his own agenda? He got his hands burned every single time. What I am inviting you to do today is to begin to hear the voice of God. You may think, man, Dusty, look at me. I'm no spiritual giant. Well, let me ask you, when God came to Abram, was he a spiritual giant? When he came to Samuel, he was just a little boy. When he came to all of his disciples, what were they? Some of them, I mean, they were illiterate fishermen. They couldn't spell cat without spotting them two letters. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Look who God has used. Yes, he's used the best and the brightest. But he's used some of us that are dumb as a brick. And when you put it on the scale, all of us are dumb as a brick, aren't we? Listen. What is he saying to you today? We'll have a word of prayer right now. And we're going to open the altar if you want to come and pray. You can do that today. God's spoken to you. You want to go get someone else to come and pray with you today? You can do that. It's your time with the Lord. Your time to hear his voice. But one thing I'd ask of all of us, will you tilt your ear toward heaven right now and begin the process of hearing his voice? We do that. Let's do it right now. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking to us through these old stories, the counts of these men and women's lives who heard your voice and answered your call and became who you designed them to be in the earth. Lord, I'm praying right now as we are still before you, as we intentionally listen to your voice as you speak. Lord, for some of us, you're speaking about family things, steps we need to take, for some relational things, taking the next step. Lifestyle things, Lord. You're speaking. Let us hear your voice right now, Lord. In the name and the power of Jesus, we command the enemy that he have no authority in this room right now. The enemy of our souls would have no authority over our minds and hearts. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would rebuke him right now. And you would make this a safe place to hear the voice of the Lord. The altar's open. Come if you will. Has the Lord spoken to anybody today? Well, I got to put two hands up because he's spoken to me a lot today. Kind of doing a little tap dance on my toes today. I needed it. Here's your assignment about this message in particular today. If you've got a journal, or if you've got a little device like this, or a phone that you keep notes in, or something you can jot it down, this week, let me make you a guarantee. If you listen, if you tilt your ear toward heaven, I guarantee you, God's going to speak some things to you. He's going to speak. I want you to write it down. Now, please, if he speaks the word Omaha to you, doesn't mean that you're going to take a plane trip or that you're going to be one of the Manning brothers tomorrow. You know, some of y'all don't know the illustration there. But anyway, it doesn't mean but wait on the next word from the Lord. All I want you to do is write it down, okay? Unless it's something that's just plain as the nose on your face, okay? Because I know a guy that laid down out in the field one time. He was plowing for his daddy, and he saw the Lord spoke to him with a big old GP in the sky. He thought it meant go preach, but it meant the Lord wanted him to get up and go plow. And, you know, he was being very lazy. So, okay, you got to be careful about interpreting things like that, okay? But I want you to write it down, all right? Let's do that. Let's get you a little journal or something because I'm going to be asking you to do this stuff again. All right, clear on the assignment? Molly, we're so glad you came back just like that. We sent you off, and then you came right back. Oh, we missed you too, Molly. Our college kids are in and out. Everybody's started back to school now just about. So as I send you out today, I want to pray a prayer about all that. Now, have I missed anything? Rick, have I missed anything? What wake Rick up there? But Virginia's got to turn up her hearing aid first. Speaking of stuff I need to ask forgiveness for. Okay. All right, you ready? Lord, pray that you'd now send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we go forth with the anointing of the Lord upon our lives, dripping in the love of Jesus and the authority of the Father. Lord, thank you. We pray for our college students, all of our students, all the kiddos that have gone back to school now, in whatever form of school they're doing, Lord, we pray you would go before them. May this be a great academic year for them. But most of all, Lord, may they learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're through.